All the rest of the assembled devotees, 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 all Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 21, or Chapter 7, Text 21, Chapters Scheduled Incarnations. Today we'll be hearing about the incarnation named Dhanvantari. Word meanings: Dhanvantari, the incarnation of God named Dhanvantari, Cha and Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Swayam Eva, personally himself, Kirti, fame personified, Namna, by the name, Nirnam Puru Rujam, of the deceased living entities, diseased living entities, Rujaha, diseases, Ashu, very soon, Hanti, cures, Yajye, in the sacrifice, Cha also, Bhagam, share Amrita nectar, Ayu, duration of life, Ava, from, Avarundhe, obtain, Ayushya, of duration of life, Vedam, knowledge, Anushasti, directs, Avatirya, incarnating, locate in the universe. Dhanvantarischa Bhagavan Swayameva Kirtir.
Dhanvantarischa Bhagavan Swayameva Kirtir.
Namna Nrinam Purujam Ruja Ashuhanti.
Namna Nrinam Purujam Ruja
Yagye cha bhagam amrita yura vavarundha.
Yagye cha bhagam amrita yura vavarundha.
Ayushya vedam anushasya vatirya loke.
Ayushya vedam anushasya
vatirya loke. Dhanvantarischa bhagavan swayam eva kirtir. Jam Ruja Ashuhanti.
Namna Nrinam Purujam Ruja Ashuhanti.
Yagye cha bhagam amrita yura vavarundha.
Yagye cha bhagam amrita yura vavarundha.
Ayushya vedam anushasya vatirya loke.
Ayushya vedam anushasya.
Namna 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 The Lord, in his incarnation of Dhanvantari, very quickly cures the diseases of the ever-diseased living entities simply by his fame personified, and only because of him do the demigods achieve long lives. Thus the personality of Godhead becomes ever-glorified. He also exacted a share from the sacrifices, and it is he only who inaugurated the medical science or the knowledge of medicine in the universe. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, everything emanates from the ultimate source of the personality of Godhead. It is therefore understood in this verse that medical science or knowledge in medicine was also inaugurated by the personality of Godhead in his incarnation, Dhanvantari. And thus, the knowledge is recorded in the Vedas. The Vedas are the source of all knowledge, and thus knowledge in medical science is also there for the perfect cure of the diseases of the living entity. The embodied living entity is diseased by the very construction of his body. The body is the symbol of diseases. The disease may differ from one variety to another, but disease must be there, just as there is birth and death for everyone. So by the grace of the personality of Godhead, not only are diseases of the body and mind cured, but also the soul is relieved of the constant repetition of birth and death. The name of the Lord is also called Bhavaushadhi, or the source of curing the disease of material existence. Dhanvantari was born from the churning of the milk ocean. That story begins with the demigods and demons are fighting, as usual. And the demigods were losing. So they went to Lord Vishnu and asked for relief. And he said, now is not a good time because they very faithfully served their guru. They're too powerful now. So better you cooperate with them, do some joint venture together, try to get something from it. And he suggested that they churn the ocean of milk and get the nectar of immortality. There's only one verse where that's mentioned. He doesn't say why that's the solution, but I guess maybe it's self-evident. It's something they would both want, the nectar of immortality, and they wouldn't have to die. Actually, I think in the purport, Prabhupada says, it's a kind of nectar that if a person dies, it can be given to them and they can be rejuvenated. So this is actually done. We know Shukracharya, he had this power, actually. I don't know if it's this same nectar, but there's some mantras that he knew. He was able to revive the demons and they were fighting on the battlefield. Actually, at the end, after the churning of the milk ocean, there was a big battle that took place on the shore of the ocean of milk, and the demons were defeated, and some of them died, and Shukracharya revived them. In fact, one of the persons he revived was Bali Maharaj. Then Bali Maharaj worshipped the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty. Bhrigu dynasty, Shukracharya is also in that. Actually, he's the son of Bhrigu. And because he pleased them, then Bali Maharaj became very powerful. He got celestial weapons and chariots and horses, and he attacked the heavenly planets, took over the heavenly planets. And that was the background for the appearance of Lord Vamanadev. So they are always fighting, these demons and these suras and the asuras. But from this, sometimes something good happens. So this is what, in this particular instance, Lord Vishnu told them they should churn the ocean of milk. And he told the demigods who had approached him, there are some nice things that are going to come out, but don't, just if the demons want them, let them have them. Don't oppose them. So some of the things that were produced, now somehow demigods ended up with these things. When you hear the list, you'll say, well, demigods get them. But the first thing was the Surabhi cow, which was produced from the ocean milk. Then Uchaishrava, the horse. Uchaishrava means he brought, what is the word, brayed? Is that the word? Brayed, whinnied very loudly. Uchaishrava. And Bali Maharaj took charge of that horse. I don't know where he is now. And then Airavata was produced. And some jewels were produced. The Kaustubha gem, which hangs around the neck of Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. It's said that this Kaustubha gem represents the jivas. Whatever that means exactly, I'm not sure, but I've seen that reference here and there. Kaustubha gem represents the jivas. And there was another gem produced, which I don't know anything about, and I never heard anything about it. It's called the Padmaraga gem. But I don't know what that is or anything about that. And let's see what else. Parijata flower was produced from the ocean of milk. The apsaras were produced from the ocean of milk. I guess that's why they're so attractive. And because so many, you know, wonderful things were produced. Of course, poison was also produced, and Lord Shiva had to drink it. And of course, Lakshmi, Rama Devi, she was also produced from the ocean of milk. She came and she had a garland because she was looking for a husband. She was going to garland her husband, as like is done at a Swayamvar. So of course she garlanded Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu plays several roles in this whole pastime. He's Kurma, and actually before that it said that the Lord will incarnate as Ajita. So then it said that this Ajita became Kurma. And of course then he appears as Dhanvantari. Now Dhanvantari, of course, as it's said here, he's the originator of the science of medicine, because this interesting phrase in the translation, he quickly cures the diseases of the ever-diseased living entities simply by his fame personified. So he'll cure your disease, but that doesn't mean you're going to get rid of all of them. At least while you're in the material body, as Prabhupada says in the purport here, birth, death, old age, and disease, they're all there. So there'll always be disease, at least at some time. And now, of course, he brought the nectar for curing disease. He inaugurated the medical science. He brought the nectar of immortality, but he inaugurated the medical science. Of course, the medical science, what is that? That's Ayurveda. It's not available now in its original form. Apparently it's part of the Atharva Veda. I had to look on Wikipedia to find out something about it. And also the Sanskrit dictionary. There are three books that are referred to by Ayurvedic Vaidyas, or Kavirajas as we know them. The Charaka Samhita, the Sushruta Samhita, and the Bhela Samhita. So especially, I don't think Bhela is available, but the Charaka Samhita and Sushruta Samhita, these are large works, multi-volume works, and these are said to be based on the original Ayurveda. And they're also very old. Even on Wikipedia, which you know is probably some scholar probably wrote about this, and they tend to make things much younger than we see them. But they also say that even this Charakasamhita is like 2,500 years old, at least 2,000 years old. So it's been around for a long time. Now the Sanskrit dictionary online, this is probably from Monier Williams, he gives a definition of Ayurveda. It says it's the science of health or medicine. It is classed among sacred sciences and considered a supplement of the Atharva Veda. It contains 8 departments. Now one thing that's interesting in Jiva Goswami's Tattvasandarbha, where he's building his case for the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he goes through different, you know, he starts with the 4 Vedas, and then he gets to the Mahabharata, Purana, and then finally Srimad Bhagavatam. He explains why each one is successively better than the previous one. So when he mentions the Vedas in general, he says that we should actually honor and accept all the Vedas. We hear about the Dhanurveda and this Veda and that Veda. So this would include the Ayurveda. That's also considered to be, in some sense, a transcendental science, or at least it was delivered by an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we respect that, even though it may be hard to know what's bona fide and what's not these days. So these are the 8 departments that are covered in the Atharva Veda, according to the Sanskrit dictionary. Shalva, or removal of any substance which has entered the body as extraction of darts, splinters, etc. 2 is Shalakya, or the cure of diseases of the eye by shalaka, or a sharp instrument. Now this may remind you of something. I don't know if it does. But Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. It's actually there in that verse. Now, it's interesting because it has 2 metaphors. It has the metaphor of ointment. You have to anoint your eyes with transcendental knowledge. But it's also this idea of some instrument. This shalaka is they're going to cut away any cataracts that you have. So you cut away the cataracts and then soothe with the ointment. So that verse is there. So this is one of the aspects of Ayurveda, this Shalakya, cure of disease of the eye or ear, etc., it says, by a sharp instrument. And the 3rd division is, or department, Kaya Chikitsa, cure of diseases affecting the whole body. So Kaya means body. Bhuta Vidya, treatment of mental diseases supposed to be produced by demoniacal influence. Lord Chaitanya would blame his ecstasies on imbalance of the life airs. And we hear how people are crazy because they're haunted by Buddhas, haunted by a ghost. So this is Buddha. Of course, Buddha is like Lord Shiva's Bhutanath. So mental diseases, this is the psychology in the Ayurveda, get rid of the ghosts and so on, Bhutas and Prachitas and all of these. And the 5th department of the Ayurveda is Kaumara Vritya. That's pediatrics, treatment of children. It's got its own department. Agada Tantra, the doctrine of antidotes. Rasayana Tantra, doctrine of elixirs. And finally, Vajikarana Tantra, the doctrine of aphrodisiacs. That's part of people's desire for being healthy. They not only want to be healthy, but they want to be sexually potent and so on. So that's part of the Ayurveda as well. So I have some notes here. Let me just go through and make some comments here. And Srila Prabhupada refers to this. Now, Dhanvantari, of course, he's in the list in the 1st canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, of all the incarnations there. So in 1.3.28, which is Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, in that verse, Prabhupada, he's actually referring to a quote it's from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's commentary. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes Sridhar Swami, who quotes a quote traditional verse, part of which says, by the way, there are many verses that we don't know the origin of them. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, probably mentions it in one purport. Because there are sometimes Sanskrit verses that our acharyas quote, but they don't give any source to them. And Prabhupada says it's because a lot of verses were just known by people. They were just traditional verses that everybody knew. So sometimes people quote them as authoritative. They've been around for a long time. They're like folk wisdom, but Vedic folk wisdom. So this is a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoting this. He's quoting Sridhar Swami, who's quoting this traditional verse, apparently as authoritative. So this is part of the verse. The verse says, so it explains something about the different avatars. I thought this was just some interesting information. Nrsimha, Parashuram, Kalki, and the Purusha avatars show the power of the Lord. Nrsimha, Parashuram, Kalki, so that all makes sense, right? They show the power of the Lord. And the Purusha avatars, of course, they have the power of creation. Narada, Vyas, Varaha, and Buddha show dharma, because they preach various paths of dharma. Narada, Vyas, Varaha, and Buddha. Varaha is often, in glorification of Lord Varaha, is often mentioned as the personification of the Vedic sacrifice, especially the Vedic sacrifice. So that would include Vedic mantras. So the next display is fame. I'll say what they display first. So these display the fame. Ram, Dhanvantari, Yajna, and Prithu. When I read this, I always think, Dhanvantari? He doesn't seem very famous to most of us. He's not the first person you think of necessarily when you think of incarnations of the Lord. Or Yajna. Yajna is mentioned a little bit more in the Bhagavatam. Prithu, of course, Prithu. Prithu has a lot in the Bhagavatam. There's like 8 or 9 chapters, the whole pastime of Lord Prithu. So he's famous because he takes up a lot of words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these, now the next ones, they display the beauty of the Lord. Balaram, we can attest to that, our beautiful Balaram deity. Mohini Murti, of course, and Vamanadeva. I always think it's interesting that Vamanadeva is a dwarf. Usually dwarfs are deformed. It's a deformity of the body. So dwarfs are not very attractive, generally, their features. Lord Vamanadeva is especially attractive because of his beauty. Actually, I was supposed to originally give class on Vamanadeva last week, and then it was changed. And I was thinking about Lord Vamana, how he's praised as a Mahajan. But when you read the pastime, you think, well, it doesn't seem like he's acting out of prema here. It seems like he's acting out of duty. That was, in fact, what he said. It's, I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be a cheater. I have to follow dharma, so that's why I'm going to go through this, no matter what my spiritual master says. So then I was talking to my wife, and she said she read that Vamanadeva was overwhelmed by the Lord's, or excuse me, Balaram Maharaj was actually overcome by the Lord's beauty. So this is explained someplace, maybe in Brihadbhagavatam or somewhere, that he was so enchanted by Lord Vamanadeva. So of course that's a symptom of prema, that's love. And Prabhupada always often refers to him that he had, love for the Lord. And the Lord, of course, responded by becoming his constant companion in Sutala Loka. So Vamanadeva displays the Lord's beauty. Let's see, the next ones display knowledge, which should be known by the wise. Dattatreya. Dattatreya, I think I'm not sure what he taught exactly. I think maybe some love gyan involved, I think. Matsya. Now, Matsya talked to the king. What was his name? Satyavrata, was it? King. Some of what he taught is there in the ninth canto. Is it ninth? Yeah. And the Kumaras and Kapila. So, of course, the Kumaras and Kapila, they're famous for teaching, especially. And finally, detachment. So these incarnations of the Lord to teach detachment, Nadanarayan Rishi, Kurma, and Rishabha. So Kurma, I don't know why Kurma exactly. I guess he was detached when he put a mountain on his back instead of spinning it around. But it said he had an itch, so it was nice to get his itch scratched by this mountain. So then this is from the Narayana Kavacha, because in Narayana Kavacha shield, the mantra is there. So one of the prayers is to Dhanvantari, one of the verses. Dhanvantarir Bhagavan Patya Patyad. I don't have the translation here, but these are the words. Dhanvantari Bhagavan Patu, may he protect me, apatyat, from things injurious to health, such as meat and intoxicants. That's Prabhupada filling out the meaning of the word. So apatyat means injurious. The Prabhupada says these things are injurious. So that's what Prabhupada says in the purport. To live within this material world, one must face many dangers, as described herein. For example, undesirable food possesses a danger to health, and therefore one must give up such food. The Dhanvantri incarnation can protect us in this regard. Now, of course, the food is very important in Ayurveda. In fact, it's very, probably extremely essential and central to Ayurveda. I know devotees sometimes they have this idea that it's all about herbs. Of course, we hear Aushadhi and we hear the healing herb. But herbs are actually kind of secondary. It's more about how you live your life. Pretty much everything you do during the day. And your diet is extremely important. So it's mentioned here that Dhanvantri will protect you from bad food, eating bad food, maybe help you eat properly, maintain your health that way. I was looking to see what Prabhupada said about Ayurveda. And of course he favored it. He definitely wanted, he went back to India because he wanted to be treated by an Ayurvedic doctor when he had his heart attack. And he hated hospitals. Boy, Prabhupada really hated hospitals. He didn't want to go into hospitals at all. When he had that heart attack and he went there, and I don't know, he didn't spend much time there, but it was an emergency, so he went there. And he just wanted to get out, but they didn't want to release him. We could read Brahmananda Prabhu, and others that tell this pastime. So when the doctor came in to check on Prabhupada in the morning, Prabhupada, he sat up really straight, had a big smile on his face, acted like everything was fine, and shook the doctor's hand. And the devotees were pushing him out of the hospital, and the doctors, the nurses were saying, "No, no, this man's going to die. Don't take him out of here." Prabhupada just said, "Get me out of here. Get me out of here." And when he was sick in London, he had some blockage, I think he couldn't pass urine. And he really didn't want to go to the hospital again. He just kept putting it off and putting it off. But it got so bad, eventually they had to take it, emergency, and clear out the blockage. But then immediately he wanted to come back. So all they know how to do is take your blood and poke you with needles and this and that. And I was reading a conversation where a devotee said something about, I think it was Srup Damodar, about being attacked by germs, and probably said, "No attack." They had no attack. He said that it within us, and when we're not clean and we do, the wrong kind of living, you might say, then the disease comes. It's not attacked by something from the outside, which I thought was interesting. Okay, let me read a little something else here. Now this is from the appearance. This is actually the verses that cover the appearance of Dhanvantari from the ocean of milk. O king, thereafter, while the sons of Kasyapa, both demons and demigods, were engaged in churning the ocean of milk, a very wonderful male person appeared. He was strongly built. His arms were long, stout, and strong. His neck, which was marked with three lines, resembled a conch shell. His eyes were reddish, and his complexion was blackish. He was very young. He was garlanded with flowers, and his entire body was fully decorated with various ornaments. He was dressed, now it's one thing about the Lord, sometimes maybe we don't think about it, but they always wear lots of jewelry. If you read definitions or descriptions, especially of Lord Vishnu, he has armlets and anklets, he's got all over the place. He's got jewels and necklaces and crowns and earrings and really wear a lot of jewelry. So he was decorated with various ornaments. He was dressed in yellow garments and wore brightly polished earrings made of pearls. The tips of his hair were anointed with oil, and his chest was very broad. His body had all good features. He was stout and strong like a lion. Of course, he's healthy. He's done winter. But he was decorated with bangles. In his hand, he carried a jug filled to the top with nectar. This person, Dhanvantari, a plenary portion of Lord Vishnu, he was very conversant with the science of medicine, and as one of the demigods, he was permitted to take a share in sacrifice. So this is from Prabhupada's purport. Actually, he quotes a verse, Madhvacharya remarks, and Prabhupada quotes some Sanskrit. And it says, Dhanvantari, who was carrying the jug containing nectar, was a plenary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, one thing about the way Prabhupada uses plenary, plenary means full. It's like if you have a plenary session of Congress, that means everybody has to be there. But Prabhupada doesn't use it to mean Vishnu Tattva plenary. Usually the way, what I found, I did some research on this one time to try to figure it out, and what Prabhupada says plenary usually means direct. And sometimes a plenary portion is not fully Vishnu Tattva. It's just next in line. Seems to be the way Prabhupada uses it. Plenary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although he was very strong, the asuras were able to take the jug of nectar from his hands. So that's Madhvacharya. Let's see. And then Prabhupada says, upon seeing Dhanvantari carrying the jug of nectar, the demons, desiring the jug and its contents, immediately snatched it away by force. Now, Dhanvantari is also mentioned. So, Dhanvantari appeared twice. What happened to him after this lila, it's not explained. All we hear about, the fighting over the nectar and so on. The demons stealing it. And Mohini Murti comes, and she bewilders the demons, and she ends up getting the nectar and gives it to the demigods. Then we don't hear anything about him. But in the ninth canto, there's so much genealogy there. So in describing this king and this person, and so Dhanvantari is mentioned as one of the descendants of, Pururava, King Pururava. Now, there's a whole chapter of Pururava and how he's maddened by this Apsara Urdvashi, kind of interesting pastime. This Pururava actually appears later in the 11th canto in what's called the Ayala Gita. That's another name of his, Ayala. Or Ila, what is it, Ila? Maybe it's Ila and becomes Ayala, Ayala Gita. So that's part of Lord Krishna's teachings to Uddhava, this Pururava. So one of the descendants of Pururava, this is the context, it's saying, descendants of Pururava, it's a section of the ninth canto. So one of them was Dhanvantari. So there it says, this is the translation to the verse, the son of Kashya was Kashi, and his son was Rastra, the father of Dhirgatama. Dhirgatama had a son named Dhanvantari, who was the inaugurator of the medical science, and an incarnation of Lord Vasudeva, the enjoyer of the results of sacrifices. One who remembers the name of Dhanvantari can be released from all disease. And then it says, the son of Dhanvantari was Ketuman. So he was a grihastha in this incarnation, and he had a descendant. He had at least one son named Ketuman who had descendants, so he carried on. Now there's this. Prabhupada gives a different color for Dattatreya. Now, it may be that he appears in different colors at different times, but he wrote a letter to Jadarani where he mentions colors of some of the Lord's incarnations. Obviously, because she's painting, she probably asked about different colors. Maybe she was painting all the avatars, I don't know. So this is in 1971, Prabhupada wrote, Naranarayan has four arms, and they are bluish. His arms are bluish, and that means the rest of his body too. Dattatreya, Prithu, and Dhanvantari are yellowish. Lord Buddha is flesh-colored, and Yajna is bluish. I guess she knew the rest of them. Okay. Only other last thing I was going to mention was this word Oshadhi, Oshadha. So Oshadha is herb, but it means actually, Prabhupada often translates it as the remedy, remedial measure, or the cure, or the medicine. These are all, because they're all the same thing. In the context of Ayurveda, what is the cure? What is the medicine? It's an herb. You have herbal medicines. That's what you take. But the word is also used for curing our material disease. As is said here, Dhanvantari is an incarnation of the Lord, so he can cure our bodily diseases, but also the disease of the soul, and bring us back to Godhead. So we have this famous line by a song, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he mentions in the Jeev Jago, E Nechyo Shadhi Maya Nashi Bhara Lagi Harinam Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. This is a word for word for that. E Nechi, I have brought O Shadhi, the medicine, Maya, illusion of Maya, Nashi Bhara Lagi, for destroying Harinam Mahamantra Lao, please take it to me, you Magi, begging. The Bhaktivinoda is begging us to take the cure, the Oshadhi, the medicine for curing our material disease, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So I'll stop here. Anybody had anything? Yes, Bhushir Prabhu.
You were mentioning about during the churning of the milk ocean that there was different creatures came out. Mm-hmm. And in the 12-volume Mahabharata, it describes when Lakshmi came out, she had the garland. And in the Ramanujacharya line, among the Ramanujis, there's the Vadakalai and Pingalai. Mm-hmm. So the Vadakalais, they're saying is that Lakshmi's a jiva. Uh-huh. And then the Thingalai said, no, she's Shakti Tattva. And another thing was, it also describes in that bigger Mahabharata how a moon was churned out of the ocean. But then earlier it describes how there was a full moon in the sky already. Uh-huh. So it's just like, okay, well, what's that moon? Where did that moon go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We always get these kinds of contradictory things, it seems like. Yeah, the moon came out of the ocean. Right, there's that metaphor is there that the Yadus couldn't recognize Krishna, just as the creatures living in the ocean couldn't recognize the moon. They just thought the moon was one of theirs. So that refers to the churning of the ocean of milk, because he was in the ocean that came out. So that's the idea there. At least that's one commentary on it. Just the Yadus couldn't, they just thought, the Yadus thought he's one of us. He's our friend and so on. So the moon, the fish are thinking, the moon is just this glowy glowfish. But of course, he's extraordinary.
I was thinking of Adal Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha. Yeah, like this Adal also is like...
Adal means in the beginning.
Yeah, Adal. Somewhere I read it where they describe that, well, okay, it's an initial medicine that I take. You have to give your initial faith.
Yeah,
not exactly
sure.
Yeah.
Preliminary stage, one has to have a preliminary desire for self-realization.
Yes,
yeah,
so
yeah.
In that
what
sense,
what is
it's
the connection
medicine
with the class? And like, I don't know.
And also, there was a picture right here, if you were to say about this. There was a picture of Krishna and the gopis and so many jewels. So there's one devotee, Prabhupada Damodar Vrataswami. He looked at it one time and, you know, he used to deal with gems. So he said one morning he spent some time calculating the value of those gems that they were wearing. Mm-hmm. And it equated to about $1 million. Now you're talking about the quantity of jewelry that they wear. So I could share that.
Okay.
I was wondering, Dhanvantari is eternal manifestation of Krishna. what will be his function in the eternal world where there is no disease?
What does he do in the Vaikuntha?
Yeah.
He just prays there, serves. No one's getting sick there, so he doesn't have any work to do. That's where he just hangs out. I don't know if he has a consort or not. Not mentioned. Yeah, things are different in Vaikuntha. There's no disease there. You know that.
So if the devotees are, I mean, his devotees, they serve, but they're not assisting anything with the medicine or any, I mean, because there is no, I'm just curious, like, I mean, what they do, just.
What do they do?
Yeah.
They clean his house. That's what they do in Vaikuntha, right? They polish the walls, even though they're not dirty, and, you know, they find things to do. Where there's a will, there's a way. You want to serve the Lord, you can find. Now, he had a child, so maybe he has consort, Lakshmi. So there's a, Dhanvantari has a Lakshmi, apparently, I don't know if she descended with him, and you know, that Inka, it's just not mentioned. I don't know. Maybe there's a Dhanvantari, a Purana somewhere with all this information. Somehow it goes on. But we do hear that they have their own planets in Vaikuntha. This is mentioned in our Shastras, Vaishnava Shastras. All right. Sri Prabhupada ki.
Oh, one more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I just
had
a question about the time frame for the from Vamana to the end of the churning. How long the churning of the ocean took place?
Oh, well, they both happened during the Chakshusha Manu. I was explaining in my last class.
Okay.
Yeah, the churning of the milk ocean took place during Chakshusha Manvantar, who was the sixth Manvantar, and Vamanadeva appeared, you know, not too long after that, because there was this big fight. Although it does say that Bali Maharaj, of course, he took over the heavenly planets because of the blessings of the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty. And it says it was a long time. Or at least in the context, it says that Aditi, she wanted to get the kingdom back for her sons. Her sons were hiding here and there. And she wanted her husband to help somehow. But it says that he was in Samadhi. He had been in Samadhi for a long time. He finally came out of Samadhi and came home. And she greeted him with this. Well, this is what's happening while you were gone. Your sons have lost the heavenly kingdom, and I want to get it back. So he told her to perform the Payavrata yajna, subsisting on milk. I think it's only like a week or something like that.
12 days. It's 12 days, yeah.
How many days?
This is 12.
12 days, okay. 12 days. And then, because she was successful at that, then Lord Vishnu appeared to her. And he didn't tell him what he was going to do, He says they're so powerful, the demons are so powerful right now that they can't be defeated by force. So Vamanadeva resorted to trickery. He just said, I'll become your son. It was sort of like he was implying, I'll figure it out. I'll become your son, and without force, I'll recover the heavenly planets for your sons. So of course he did it by tricking Bali Maharaj, asking for 3 paces of land, which is also kind of a humor to the pastime, I think. 3 paces, not only is it small, but he's a dwarf. So it was really small, steps. Yeah. Anyway, so that's how that took place. So they're fairly close together. The churning of the milk ocean and the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva is not too far apart. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah. Yeah.